A little reminder that next week the worship team will get a little break. We have Phil and Pam Morgan coming, and they'll be giving a 4th of July, but it's on July 1st. But it'll be a 4th of July weekend celebration, and I know that you'll enjoy that plan to come. Bring someone with you, and it should be a great day. And then we have a potluck afterwards. The following week, on July the 8th, I'm going to start my new series called Unshakable. I've been working on that for some time, and already have several of the messages prepared, and it has been good for me. Unshakable. God has put me in a position to not be shaken by what takes place. And I didn't realize it, but I think that's an important position for me to be in as a pastor. And a lot of things happen in life that we can't control, but God can put us in an unshakable position as we live out our lives. But today we want to talk about joy. I would imagine that if we were to talk to each other, we would say that we would like to have joy in the living of our life. And somehow we'd like to get rid of all the joy killers in our life. But in our world today, there can be a lot of things that hinder joy. Just think of the world we're living in. There can be wars. There are constant murders. There's all kinds of pressures on the home. And not to mention the personal changes that can take place in our life on any given day. Really, when you stop and think about it, the whole world needs a lot of massive joy in the living of their life. Maybe you need joy in your life. Maybe you need joy in your home. Joy that's not shaken by things that go on. You know, happiness comes and goes, but we need an underwriting joy in our life. So it's not just some casual thing that would be nice to have. You need joy in your life mentally and emotionally. Life without joy is overwhelming. Life without joy is overburdened. Life without joy is oppressive. Studies have actually shown that the more joy that you have in your life today helps you to be more productive in the living of your life, and not only in the living of your life, but where you work. Did you know there are companies who actually hire people to insert joy into the workers because they have found the more joyful that they are, the more productive that they are? Just stop and think about what joy actually does to our life and to our homes. So joy is a great need. In Psalm 43, the Bible talks about the God of exceeding joy, the God of overflowing and abundant joy. Now, when we think about joy, we really need to go to the book of Philippians, because that is a book that is filled with joy and rejoice. The Apostle Paul wrote that. It's a short book, only 4 chapters. But in that book, if you were to read through those chapters in Philippians, 16 different times, Paul talks about joy. Always rejoice. In fact, in chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." The amazing thing about this book, when Paul wrote this, he wasn't on vacation in the Caribbean. He was at a very hard point in his life. He was in prison. He was in a dungeon. He was actually waiting to be executed when he wrote this great writings on the joy that he was experiencing in his life. In the darkest days of his life, he writes a masterpiece. And in there, he gives us, I think, 6 joy killers that he can help us overcome in life. He gives us 6 things that we can build our life on that will help bring joy into our life and into our home. So I want us to look at those very quickly this morning. First of all, if we want joy in our life and we want joy in our homes, we need to stop dwelling on the past. Stop dwelling on the past. Paul would say, there are some things in your life you just need to eliminate. Some things in your life you just need to get rid of. Because they're wearing us out. They're overburdening our life. One of the first things that we need to get rid of are the regrets about our past life. The regrets about our past life. We all have regrets. We all have a few skeletons in our closet. I mean, we don't want to dig them up, but if we parked there, we would find them. We all have a past that needs to be forgiven, but the problem is that some people like to keep reminding us about some of those things. And so if we're not careful, we start dwelling on them, and we begin to park by all of the things that are in the past that we kind of regret. When that happens, it tends to pull us down emotionally and spiritually. The old emotions of guilt, the old emotions of shame come back into our life. So we need to remember that focusing on our failures, focusing on our mistakes, are not helpful to us. It doesn't change the past. It just makes us miserable in the present. We begin to live in the world of if only. You know, if only I could have done things different back there. If only I could change some things that happened in the past. But here's the deal. Regrets don't help us. We can't park our life by regrets. It can't change anything. We can't change the past. And we need to understand that. The Bible says, forget it. Once we forget something, we're able to move on into the future. What we need to understand is that when we come to God and we say, I'm sorry, forgive my past, He not only forgives us, He forgets the past and throws our sins and our mistakes into the deepest, the Bible says, into the depths of the ocean. The scripture says, this is God, says, their sins I will remember no more. So once our sins, once our mistakes, all of those things in the past that we didn't like, once they're confessed to God, once they're given to Him, He forgets them. Isn't that something? Now here's the key. We need to forget them. We need to let them go. If we want joy in our life, we've just got to put the past behind us and get ready to move forward. Look what Isaiah says. Forget what happened in the past. Don't dwell on the events from long ago, because I am going to do something new in your life. The starting point of joy is to let go of the past. Let go of the grudges. Let go of all the hard feelings. Let go of all the things that went wrong. Let go of all the sins that you may have committed. Give them to Christ and let them go and determine to live in Him. Are you ready for number two today?
Yes.
You know, on these summer days, when there's just a few of us, I hope it doesn't bother you if I come down here, TJ, right where you're at and talk to you. 2, omit all your worries. Omit all your worries. If you want to have joy in your life, you have to learn to omit all of your worries. By the way, worry affects the home. So we need to find a way to get rid of all the worries about the future. You see, you can't be joyful and worried at the same time. The more you worry about something, the bigger it gets. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that we can make mountains out of molehills? Just over worry. But just like you can't change the past, there's not one thing that you can do about the future. The future is in God's hands. You can't You can't worry about the future. So we need to find some way to get rid of the worry about tomorrow. Paul's solution is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Thank you, Andrew. He's doing a good job, isn't he? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He has already done. And then don't worry about anything. Instead of worrying, Paul is saying that you need to pray. You need to give it to the Lord. In other words, tell God what you need. Thank Him for what He's already done for you. You see, Paul's solution seems to be, you can either worry or you can pray. You can either worry or you can learn how to unload on the Lord Jesus Christ and let it go. Maybe if you're worrying all the time, you're not praying enough. So if we want to have joy in our life, we need to forget the past and we need to stop worrying about the future. Learn to live in the here and now. I came over to the church this morning, even after a week like I've had, I can't tell you about it, but I came over to the church this morning, parked my car and got out and looked around. I looked at the sky and I looked over here at the church and I say, what a joyful day. Amen. What a great day that the Lord has given to us. So learn to live in the here and now, because God has a plan for our life. Think about that. You came to church, you might have been worrying about tomorrow or whenever. Did you ever stop to think that God has a plan for your life? Your tomorrows are all in His hands. He's got everything under control. The old English word for worry means to choke or to strangle. If we were to put it in today's language, we would use the word necktie. Down the road several years ago, I used to have to wear a necktie every day. They just about choke you to death. And the whole idea of worry is like a necktie that gets tighter and tighter until it shuts off the blow to the artery. And then you can't think clearly. When we can't think clearly, that's when we do things that we shouldn't be doing. So omit worry about your future. Instead, learn to pray. Number three, yield yourself to God's purpose. Yield yourself to God's purpose. You want joy in your life? You want joy in your family? Learn to yield yourself to God's purpose. A third killjoy in life is having no real purpose to live for. You see, if you're just drifting, if you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going, you don't really know why God has put you here, then you have a lack of joy in your life. Sometimes we just kind of cruise along in life and we put it on autopilot, and we just have no idea why we're here, why we get up every morning, it's the same old thing. And we substitute happiness for joy. Sometimes we substitute short pleasure for the joy of the Lord that's meant to be in our life. You see, we all need a cause greater than ourselves to live for. We all need that. That's what brings real joy in our life and in our home. Living for yourself will never produce joy in your life. Now listen, when the Apostle Paul writes this letter, he has literally lost everything. He's old, he's in prison, he's in poor health, he's lonely, he's living in a dungeon in Rome, he's chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. That's when he wrote this letter. They have taken everything from him. He has no friends. No ministry seemingly left. No privacy. I probably shouldn't say this, but no privacy, no restroom. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about how awkward it was for Paul? I mean, he couldn't eat by himself. He couldn't go to the restroom by himself. That's what it was like for the Apostle Paul when he wrote this letter. If you want to have a joy-filled life and get out of the dumps, we have to get in line with God's purpose. Paul said, "For me to live is Christ." He wrote Timothy and said, "My only purpose in life is to please you." We need to make a statement in our life when we say, "Lord, I give myself to you, and I want you to put your purpose in my life." That's what brings real joy to our living. Look at Romans 6:13 on the screen. Give yourself completely to God. Every part of you to be tools in the hand of God, to be used for His good purposes. The most dangerous prayer that we can pray in life is say, "Lord, I want to be used by you. I want to accomplish your purpose in the living of my life." God's looking for people who will yield to His purpose. Number four, we need to focus. We need to focus. We need to focus on everything that is good. Everything that is good in life. I've yielded myself to God's purpose. So now I begin to look around the world and to see all of the good things that God's been doing. All of the good things. As you well know, life is filled with its ups and downs. We have mountains and we have valleys, don't we, Susan? We have good times and we have bad times. Some of those times we can't control. We have critics and we have compliments. You have a choice. You have a choice what you're going to focus on. You can either focus on the bad or you can focus on the good. If you go around looking for all of the bad, you're going to be disappointed. If you go around looking for the good, you'll always find a reason to rejoice. So what are you choosing to focus on? Did you know that even on your worst day, you can find something good? Even on your worst day. Paul gives us his fourth joy builder in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Here it is. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right. Think about the things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Where do you get those things? Where do you get those things, the excellent, the things that are worthy of praise? Do you get them listening to talk radio? Watching television? Looking at Facebook? Do you get a lot of good things there to think about on Facebook? You see, the best place to go to fill your mind with good things is the Bible. So fill your mind with God's Word every day. You see, we need a counterbalance, don't we? I mean, there's so much negative in the world. I imagine, Jim, at work there's a lot of negative things, aren't they? We need a counterbalance. If you don't, you're going to be overtaken by all of the negative things in the world, and we're God's people. We want to be at our best all the time out there. So get some soul food. Take some time to read the Bible. Have some devotions. Now listen just for a minute. The reason we get unhappy is because we get too concerned about trivial things. How many arguments have you had in your family, or the church, or even at work, that didn't amount to a hill of beans? Huh? Do you know most of the things that people get all upset about doesn't have one thing to do with eternity? Amen. It's just a few selfish moments in life. And so we choose to park there until it becomes a mountain and we get all out of sorts. The Apostle Paul says we need to focus on what is good. One time I went to the doctor's office. I dislike going to the doctor. And they got me right in. I thought, wow, this is good. They got me right into the doctor and took me back to that room. I thought, I'm going to be able to get in and get right out. Did you know I sat back there? 15 minutes went by. 30 minutes went by. Well, I got upset. I said, don't they know that I'm a busy man? And finally I said something to the nurse. I said, you know, I've been back here for over 30 minutes. Well, the doctor comes in pretty soon, and he said, I'm so sorry. He said, do you have an emergency? He says, you have an appointment to go to? I felt about that tall. You see what happens? I took a trivial thing and let it get clear out of whack until it began to kill the joy in my life. Now, tomorrow morning, you'll all get up, you're going to go to work, you'll be about your busy schedule, but there'll always be something trivial that comes up that'll kill the joy if you let it. We have to learn to choose the right things in life. Number five, use your life to help others. If you want joy in your life, use your life to help other people. You see, the Apostle Paul was so joyful because he was so unselfish in his life. He invested his life in others. If you want to have continuous joy in your life, here's the secret. You give your life away to other people. You invest your life in others. That's where joy comes from. We need to stop focusing on our little problems, our aches and our pains, and we all have them. You see, the more you give your life away, Jesus said, the more you will find it. Isn't that interesting? The more I get involved in helping other people with their lives, the more joy I'm going to have, and the more I become like Jesus Christ. We need to understand, we come here on Sunday morning, but when we leave, that's our ministry. When you leave here today, the people that you encounter in your life, out there in work or in the neighborhood, they're needing someone that's willing to take time for them. And you're that person. And when you give into that, when you reach out to other people, it brings joy into your life. And we become more like Jesus Christ. The more unselfish you become, the more joyful a person you are. The Apostle Paul's in prison, and all he's thinking about is other people. Isn't that interesting? He's in prison, but he's thinking about other people. Look at Philippians 4:1. Dear brothers and sisters, I love you and I long to see you, for you are my joy. You see that? Who's his joy? Not himself. Other people. You are my joy, and you are the reward of my work. Paul's joy was the people that he had invested his life in. Now, I want to tell you, we invest our life in our children, and it brings joy. But we must move beyond our children to those who are around us. And it is the investment of our life in others that brings real joy in our living experience. Look at the words found in Philippians 3. For me, living means opportunity for Christ. Quite a phrase. And dying, well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunities to win people to Christ, in other words, to invest my life in people, then I really don't know which is better, to live or to die. Sometimes I want to go and be with God, for I long to be with Him. But the fact is, I can be of more help to you by staying here as long as I can. You see, Paul was saying, either way, I win. On earth, my purpose is to live for God. When I die, I get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had a purpose for living, and he had a purpose for dying. You can't get a person down who has that kind of purpose in life. His secret of joy. He had a purpose for living. He had a purpose in dying. Do you have that purpose? If I were to ask you the question today, what is your purpose in life? What would you answer? We need to yield ourselves to God. Finally, learn to be content. Learn to be content. Paul said, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Now, it wasn't natural. It's not normal to be content. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't have any ambition. It just meant he was content where God had placed him at that time. It's not easy to be content. Unless you're living on Easy Street in Security, Colorado. We lived in Security. There is an Easy Street in Security, Colorado. We never got to live on it. But Paul's life wasn't easy. Paul lived a very difficult life. Listen to what the Bible said. Here's what he said. I've worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times received 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 time I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I've gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst. I've been cold and had no clothing. And yet Paul was content. In the scripture, it actually says, one time he's writing to Timothy, he says, everyone in Asia has left me. They all left him. Was he sad? Did he quit working? Was that the end of his life? No. He was unshakable, by the way. They could leave him, but they couldn't stop him. Besides all this, I had the daily concerns of all the churches. But in spite of all this, no matter what happens, rejoice, always rejoice. He had learned to be content. Here's the bottom line. Joy is a decision. Do you realize this morning, here we are, do you realize you're about as joyful and happy as you choose to be? There isn't a person here who doesn't have some concerns. There isn't a person here who hasn't got a past that they wish maybe there were some things there that hadn't happened. But today, today, this morning. You're as joyful as you choose to be. And that affects the family. What you choose will affect the family. God's saying to us, if you learn to be content and choose to make the right decisions, you can be joyful in life. Paul was joyful no matter what because he had a purpose for living, he had a purpose for dying, and he wants us to have a purpose as well. Some of us might say, well, our purpose is to make lots of money. That's all right. Or our purpose is to have a lot of possessions. Nothing sinful about it. But I've known a lot of people that had money and possessions, but they didn't have joy. You see, joy is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Joy is wrapped up in a personal relationship with Him. Joy is wrapped up in knowing Christ and in serving Christ. That's where joy comes from. And that's where we miss it. Too often we think life is about us. But life is about the people who are around us every day of our life. So we must know Him. We must walk with Him. We must serve Him. And it's in that capacity that we find overflowing joy that Paul talked about even when he was in the dungeon. I can't imagine how he wrote this when he was in the dungeon and chained to someone. We don't suffer like that today. We don't have those kinds of problems. So he has left something for us to get a hold of. And that's what I desire for you and for your family. If your family has joy, your children will become very productive in life. If you have conflict and arguments over trivial things, your children will carry that burden for the rest of their life. I want you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen? Amen. Dear Lord, we want to thank you today, a good day. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, the words that he has given us, the principles, these principles that he's set for us to follow. I pray for every home, whatever they may be going through, could be good times and maybe stressful times. But may your joy pierce any darkness in their life and in their home. And we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.